Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Before we start today's show, I want to take a moment and thank everyone for spending their hard-earned money with our sponsors, especially during this holiday season. We work very hard to find products and services that you guys will love, and we appreciate the fans who support our sponsors. We also want to let you know that if you have a product or a service that you think our fans might connect with, hit us up. This is your chance to have me promote your business to some of the most hardcore fans on the planet. Right now, go to gasdigitalnetwork.com/advertise and use the show code RAP so they know that we sent you. Once again, that's gasdigitalnetwork.com/advertise and use the show code RAP. All right, let's start the show.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're with Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
I ain't gonna eat, I ain't gonna sleep, ain't gonna breathe till I see what I wanna see. And what I wanna see is you go to sleep in the dirt permanently. You just being hurt, this ain't gonna work for me. It just wouldn't be sufficient enough, cause we are just gonna be enemies. As long as we breathe, I don't ever see either of us coming to terms where we can agree. There ain't gonna be no reason speaking with me. You speak on my seat, then me no speaking English. So we gonna beef and keep on beefing unless you're gonna agree to meet with me in the flesh and settle this face to face. And you're gonna see a demon unleashed in me that you never seen. And you're gonna see this gangster pee on himself. I see you D12 and thanks, but me need no help. Me do this one on my own.
Oh, what the fuck is up, baby boys? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez. We're back. Real Ass Podcast coming in hard, coming in hot. If you guys have been following me on social media, you know what happened last night. We're going to get into that today. Me and I had a little bit of a skirbuffle, a skirmish with another comedian. We're going to get into that today. I know people are very excited to hear this story. I talked a little bit about it on my Twitter Live, my Lewiscope this morning. So you guys should be just paying attention, baby boys. Give them little bits and pieces here and there. But we have a great show planned today. It is the Real Ass Podcast Friday show. Last show of the week. Last show. Actually, no, we'll be back on Monday, but then I'm in LA for a little bit, which is nice. So we'll get some West Coast comics on the Real Ass Podcast next week. As always, my partner in crime. Wish you had my back last night, Zachy boy. I wish you were there last night, because I know you would have been right there with me. Zach,
had I seen the original tweet, I definitely would have gone.
Zach would have shown up and fucking... Zach's a nasty motherfucker. People don't realize Zach is ride or die. You know, he might get out of breath just, you know, getting up to fight.
It's mostly die.
International superstar Zach D'Amico's here. What's up, baby boy?
How you doing, man?
Chilling, man.
Warm, before we get into anything, James, have a good Christmas?
James had a great Christmas.
Great, man.
James had a great Christmas.
Saw those pictures. We're
yeah. Very happy. Is this the first show since Christmas?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even fucking know what's going on anymore, baby boy. I smoke too much weed. That's the problem. I can't even tell. Yeah, James had an incredible Christmas. I got him brass knuckles. I got him.
Just went into Harrington's bag.
Yeah. I got him boxing gloves. I got him Muay Thai knee pads.
Oh, good.
Overall, just violent gifts. Because that's what I am. I'm a violent motherfucker. What's up, Nate? That's right, bitch. Give me my coffee, motherfucker. What's up? Give me my coffee. Yeah. Get out. Get out now. What's up, Monroe? What's up, baby boy?
What's going on, man?
The best part of all of this is we have two incredible guests. By chance, one of them happened to be there at the stand last night. A witness, as they say. Snitches get stitches, but don't worry. I want the honest perspective. No, I want the honest perspective, Monroe. Monroe Martin joins the show. Back on the show. What's up, kid?
What's up, man?
Also, Doug Bryan's back on the show.
What's going on?
What's up, kid?
Dude, I'm excited to hear this story.
Yeah, we're going
to
get into it.
I really want to hear this.
We have a lot to talk about today. Let's fucking get into it. All right, cut the music. It's fine. We introduce everybody. We're good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be a more peaceful person. I'm trying to be more calm. I really am.
Just sometimes, I'll tell you what happened. I'll give you my perspective on it, and I want Monroe's perspective, and we'll get into everything right now. This could be a crazy show today, okay? We have other things to talk about as well. We'll talk about our Christmases, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. People got gifts, they ate food, right? They saw their families, done.
Right.
Christmas was Christmas, like it is every year, okay? But last night we were at a show, and I was booked in the downstairs room, and Jake Flores, who's a comedian that I don't really know. I don't know this guy at all. Nobody really knows this guy.
No,
this guy's not like connected within the comedy community. He's like a, you know, a fucking Brooklyn hipstery open mic sort of fucking, you know, one of those guys, which is fine. I'm not hating. It is what it is. But he's not friends with people. Like, you know what I'm saying? So people don't know who this guy is. But what he does is he constantly interjects himself into Twitter discussions. That's his whole thing, is he's got a decent Twitter following. And whenever there's drama going on in the comedy community, he likes to jump onto the drama and pile on. And because he's a lefty, you know, social justice-y type guy, when the drama includes any of my people, Legion of Skanks, for example, when Louis C.K. was at the showed up at Skankfest, or when we were going to have Miley Yiannopoulos on the show, Jake chimes in, you know, makes these comments. And by the way, that's also fine. I don't even really give a shit if you are against what we do. You know, it's fine. Look, if you're against what we do and you're a comic, you're a fucking bitch. You're not a real comic. Typically, you're probably not a real comic. You know, but even so, there's a place for everybody. I don't give a shit. I'll still defend your right to say what you want to say, right?
Yeah.
Where this guy Jake crossed the line was when we were going to have Miley Yiannopoulos on the show. He was one of the people leading the charge against us, against Rebecca. And essentially, we left the creek because of that whole situation. We were like, well, we're not going to fucking do that. This is one of the things that he tweeted. He goes, idea to save the creek. Don't unbook Milo, but do sell milkshakes. Use the money to not book Milo. Just spitballing here. So, you know, he tweets out about milkshakes. He tweeted some other stuff, too. There was another one.
The milkshake
thing. The milkshake thing is...
They were throwing milkshakes at... conservative people.
They were throwing milkshakes.
Wasn't it? It was a thing.
Sometimes, but for the most, they were throwing milkshakes as a protest.
Who throws milkshakes?
Some fucking lefty Antifa people.
Half a fan comics. That's
damn.
All. It's not even comics doing it. He's not even doing it. He's, you know, he's making these comments and making these jokes. But it was him and a bunch of other people calling for people to show up to the creek with milkshakes and to throw them at Legion of Skanks and Milo. And for me, I'm just
Jay thought it was his birthday.
Yeah, Jay was like, holy shit, happy day. Oh, happy day.
We got to book Nazis every week.
We ended up moving the show. We did the show here. We didn't do it at the creek.
Okay.
But because it was a threat of violence, a threat of protesters showing up. Let me explain to you something. If somebody throws a milkshake at me, we're going to fight, period. Right. Most men. Most men.
Exactly.
What happened? That's why I wouldn't understand it.
But bro, this isn't about politics. You're walking down the street, some guy goes, hey, and throws a milkshake at you.
Yeah, you gotta get them. But I don't get it. That's why I was like, wait, why are you like assaulting people?
Well, from their perspective, they go, it's not assault. It's just a milkshake.
It is assault.
I was talking to Dave Smith about this. It's interesting, though, because I didn't realize this. In their mind, it's not, because in their mind, if somebody threw a milkshake at them, they would just go, and they'd run home and they'd shower and then they start tweeting about it.
Yeah.
And that would be the whole thing. So it's not going to get there. Like any fucking real dude, if somebody throws a milkshake at them, they're going to fight them.
Absolutely.
They don't think of it like that. They're like, it's just a milkshake. Yeah. What are you talking about? You're like, are you fucking crazy?
Yeah.
And so maybe there's a disconnect there. Maybe people...
I think so. Because I'm like, well, like, you could sue them. You can do a lot of shit. You can ruin their lives.
I'm saying, dude, if you fucking... So that was sort of like, there was this thing. We moved the show. And Jake kept on tweeting about that. There was some other shit. And I said to him at one point, I was like, dude, stop mentioning me. So I've never met you. I don't know you.
Yeah.
Stop mentioning my show. Stop mentioning me. I was like... Because, let's see, I like the creek, but I don't think people should boycott it. It seems like they barely make enough money.
He's fucking verified.
Pretty clear that LOS is attempting to use the controversy of booking Milo as an advertisement for their shows, which will work. But in doing so, throws everyone at the creek and everyone affected by the presence of the alt-right under a bus, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, look, it was just over and over again. Yeah, this is all about Milo. And that's fine, by the way. You can have that opinion. But at one point I said to him, I was like, dog, stop. I was like, for you to tell people to show up at the creek, that was the big thing that people were talking about, where it was like, for you to tell people to show up at the creek and to do something that may cause a fucking big fight. Big, like, somebody can get really hurt there. You know what I'm saying? Have some responsibility. We're all fucking comics. You know what I'm saying?
No, health code-wise, it's a nightmare there.
Yeah, people are lactose intolerant.
So
it's cats, and they're serving food, like...
At one point, I said to him, I was like, dude, stop mentioning my fucking name, because I'm going to see you one day, and I'm going to say something to you. I'm not going to not... this is, at this point, it's like, you're just talking shit. Twitter and our cell phones, this is all an extension of who we are.
Yeah.
You're just talking shit. I don't care that you're on fucking Twitter. You're just talking shit. And at one point, if a guy just keeps talking shit to you, you go, all right, what's your fucking problem, dude? What is the issue, right? Yeah. So I knew when I saw him, I said, one day I'm going to see him. I've said this for a while now. I was like, I'm going to see him, and I'm going to say something to this guy.
Yeah. Okay?
There's no question about this. And when I was there, Tim Dillon was there, Nick Mullen was there, you guys were there, Luis was there. I was like, oh, this guy's showing up tonight. I'm going to say something to him. There's no doubt about it. Luis is like, please don't start anything. I was like, look, I'm not going to just go swing on a guy.
Yeah.
That's not the way I am. You know, I wasn't raised that way. I was raised.
Raised at all, though.
I wasn't. But, well, I didn't grow up. There was a weird rule of engagement where you let the other guy throw the first punch.
Absolutely.
Right.
But it's bad technique. It's not really the best way to win a fight.
If he got a good hook.
I don't know. If they come
and he feigns that, boom, drops in the right hand. Shit. Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, it all took was one, baby boy.
Yep.
Bad strategy. But overall, that's sort of how I grew up, especially if a person isn't, if a person's really aggressive and they're, it looks like they're going to fight, I would probably not let them just throw the first punch.
No, you don't let that happen.
But, you know, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to fucking talk shit to this guy. I knew I was going to talk shit to this guy. And I knew, by the way, I thought this guy, from the way he talks shit online, I thought he was 5'2", 108 pounds.
Yeah.
I was like, this is probably a little fucking Brooklynite bitch.
Yeah.
You know, and I was planning on bullying him, just being like, yeah, so why are you talking shit? And then him being like, and I thought it was just going to be there. Like, that was the level of anger.
So then just a beard looking at its shoes.
Yeah, exactly. So then I start talking to Nick Mullen. Nick Mullen's like, yeah, dude, we got into three fist fights when we were friends in Austin. He was like, I went 2-1 against this guy. And it's not like Nick Mullen's tough, but I was like, oh, this guy's down to scrap. At the very least, in my mind, now in my head, I was like, oh, this guy will fight. Right, will fight at the very least. Right. So I'm like, okay. That gets in my head. And then it's like an hour. It's being like kind of worked up. Like my spot comes and goes, and I'm still waiting at this point for this guy to show up, because I want to look him in the face and be like, dude, I'm here now.
Yeah.
You talk all this shit on Twitter. What is your problem with me?
Yeah.
Right? He walks in. He's like 6'3" at least.
Yeah.
The guy's a monster.
Yeah.
He's huge. I had no idea how big this fucking guy was, okay? Yeah. So then I see him, but then I talked all this shit to everybody that I was going to go and say something to him. So I was like, well, fuck it. So then in my mind, I was like, all right, this guy's down to fight. And he's as big as me, at least. I think he's taller than me. Maybe, I don't know, but he's
taller than you.
Bigger than I fucking thought he was going to be. So I go up to him, and that's when I said, I was like, what's going on, man? I was like, what's your problem with me? And he goes, who are you?
Oh.
And then I was like, you know who the fuck I am, motherfucker. Please. Yeah. You know, really?
Yeah.
So then he goes, look, man, I don't want no problem. Like, he threw his hands up like that right away. Yeah. I don't want no problems. And then I just started getting myself more and more worked up like a Puerto Rican does.
Right.
You know? I'm like, yeah, you don't want... There's a lot of that. I don't know what
you're damn right you don't want no problems.
After you did that, you were disarmed, though. You're like,
we were sitting at the bar. We were like about to leave, and then we just see y'all nose to nose, and we're like, these white guys, they get too close, yo.
I know, it's true. Yeah, that's the other problem. It's like we're just talking shit. Yeah. But I'm trying to goad him into swinging on me.
Yeah, I know.
Lewis also gets very Cypress Hill.
Yeah.
That's like Lewis's version of Angry Spanish.
Yeah. I
pack it up, Pat.
I just get myself worked up, like, and very, like, you know, I start saying crazy, rancid shit. Now, I was also being careful because I figured somebody was going to videotape me. At one point, I was like, I didn't call him a faggot because I know they use that against me.
No cameras were present. At least from what I seen.
I know, because comics, because real comics were there, and nobody was on this guy's fucking side. This is the best part of all. Nobody gave a fuck. Everyone was like, good, fuck this guy. The amount of people that hit me up afterwards being like, fuck that guy. That guy talks all that shit online, jumps on when Shane got fired, jumps onto that. When people when people get into trouble, jumps onto that. He's a part of the fucking problem in comedy, these people. Yeah. These are the fucking enemy, okay? And we have to walk around and we have to just take it. And we have to just sit there and go like, oh, everything's fine. And this guy talks so much shit to a point where I'm just like, well, no, I'm gonna say something to this guy. He's been talking shit to me directly on the internet for a year, year and a half at least, I was like, fuck this guy. I'm going to say something to this guy. And I got in his face. I was like, yeah, so say something now. What's the problem? He was like, oh, I don't want no problem. And the thing that got me angry, because at that point I was just sort of like jawing and I wasn't even like really angry.
Yeah.
Was he said, he was like, yeah, you're being, yeah, it's, I was like, why don't you talk shit now? He's like, yeah, because it's really childish to sit here and talk shit now or something like that. He called me childish. Yeah. And I was like, you talk shit on Twitter.
Yeah.
You go to Twitter and talk shit like a fucking child, like a fucking 8-year-old girl.
Yeah.
To men. That's the way you do your shit talk.
By the way, this entire show is four men trying not to say faggot for an hour and a half.
I know. It's really
it's so difficult.
I said it once already. Yeah. Half a fag. Does
it's so difficult.
That's like half wrong.
Doggy, let me tell you something, okay? He just spends his whole fucking existence is talking shit to men on Twitter. And then a guy's in your face saying, well, what's your problem now? Why? What is your issue?
Yeah.
So here's your chance to say your shit. And by the way, if he would have said, well, all right, sit down. Let's talk. I'll tell you what my issue is with you.
Yeah.
We would have fucking sat down and just had a conversation.
Yeah.
I, to be honest with you, I wasn't even like, it's just when he started fucking turning in and like, well, you know, you're being really childish right now. I'm going like, dude, are you fucking out of your mind? You're, and then of course, afterwards he goes back to Twitter and talks shit. He did nothing. He sat there. He looked at his fucking feet. Okay. Yeah. Because at that point I was like, oh, this guy doesn't want to fight. This guy's not ready to fight. He's not ready for any of this shit. But at that point I was like, I'm going to let him know that if he fucking sees me, that he's going to fucking be embarrassed, that he's going to fucking have to look down at his fucking feet. And he's not going to be able to fucking have a conversation in the same fucking room as me.
Yeah.
Because these motherfuckers, they walk around. He's a 40-year-old guy, by the way, who delivers pizzas for a fucking living. This is a fact. Wow. Okay.
You saw was wondering what that backpack was.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I was like, what is
he had a giant pizza bag that I, oh, dude, I took it. I was like, it took every bit of me not to fucking throw it in front of a
like
truck.
Like the heat wave bag?
Yeah. He had a giant pizza bag with him.
He's sad.
This is the third worst fight Lewis has ever been in with a pizza boy.
Doggy, I'm telling you.
Maybe you need to go on a diet.
Hey, what other pizza boys did you punch in the face?
Doug, it's just like for you to talk all that shit and then for your reaction to be like, well, I don't, you know, I don't want to do anything. And but then afterwards to walk away and act like you're fucking like whatever. And fine, if you don't want to fight, that's fine. If you're also if you're afraid, if you don't want to fight somebody and you're afraid, that's okay. You don't have to fight somebody.
Yeah.
But fucking don't be the kid who talks shit before and after. Yeah. Don't sandwich that entire incident with you talking shit, being the provocateur. I've never mentioned this fucking guy once in my life. I don't give a fuck what he does. Yeah. I honestly, this incident will come and go. He
as long as it's hot and ready in 30 minutes, we have no problems. S.A.
Doggy, I would never mention this guy ever.
Yeah.
I never have mentioned this guy. I don't know who this fucking guy is. There's a million comics that are out there that are a part of this whole social justice left-wing cause. Good for you guys. Have fun. Yeah. I don't give a shit. There's a lot of them that perform at Skankfest. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't discriminate. I will hang out with anybody. Whatever your political or social opinions are, just don't fucking have it come into my face constantly. And you're a guy who has 30 some odd thousand Twitter followers and you're riling people up against me. Yeah. You're doing your best to get people to be against what I do and to essentially take money out of my mouth, take money out of my kid's mouth. Ooh, it's gonna get me worked up again.
You're trying to kill baby James. Money.
He's trying to kill baby James.
Yeah. Let's order a pizza. So
you're trying to stop feeding your son money.
Yeah, and give him pizza.
I'm just saying, all of this sort of fucking, it just built up in me, and I was like, fuck this guy. And then afterwards, he goes onto Twitter, and what did he tweet afterwards? Just a long list of, and I'm going like, doggy, why were you right there? Say something right there. Luis J. Gomez just put hands on me at a comedy club with Shen kicked me out, which, by the way, two things. Number one, I never put hands on him, okay?
Yeah, you know.
It's misleading. There's cameras and 100 witnesses. Never fucking hit the guy. I'm telling you right now, it's just, once again, a misleading fucking pussy fucking way to handle it. He spit in my eye, knocked a bunch of shit over.
Did you spit on him, or did spit just come out of your mouth while you were yelling?
Spit just came out of my mouth while I was yelling, all right, obviously.
That is such a... people do that one so much when you yell in their face.
Obviously, Zach. You know, I was saying a lot of words with S's and P's.
I was doing my Daffy Duck.
Look, I did say, you know, I said, Jake, you are especially, and when I said especially, there might have been a swirling of spit that really worked up during that moment and may have leaked out of my mouth.
Okay, that's fair.
Mm. Possibly.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
No, yeah,
sometimes you can't control. He also spit on me when he talked.
Yes.
He said, I'm afraid of you. I'm a real pussy. And then spit got on me. So we both got a little bit spit on. Yeah, go back to his fucking tweets, please. Okay, what else? Then he's replying to his own stuff. Yeah, so he spit in my eye, knocked a bunch of shit over, and did a weird chest puff thing at me, and then asked me what my problem was with him. What is not to like? First of all, I asked him what the problem was first. I started off with that, and then I started puffing my chest, and then I started yelling and threatening him, and then some spit puff may have came out of my mouth by accident, obviously, completely. He sounded super pisser that I would talk about him, a person that keeps threatening to fight me on the internet. He is certainly reading this. Hi, Lois. I don't know why all these guys have a weird-ass rule where they are supposed to be able to threaten you, but you're a dick if you tell anyone about it. Anyways, I think when he spit in my eye, he was trying to do that two thing from Dune, so I'm probably going to die of Hep C soon. Goodbye forever. Sorry if you came to the show. I'm not going to give the club too much shit over this because bar fights are weird, and a lot of the time you kick out the wrong person because you don't know who started or what's happening. But if they follow up on this and stand by their decision, then fuck them. So then he goes, I just talked to someone at someone, and the person told me to leave was a comic, not an employee. Club's fine. The people who told me to leave were Monroe and Derek.
Yeah.
Who didn't even really know what was going on. They just saw their boy who was
I didn't know what was happening. I was just like,
so they were like, yo, go. They both got in his face and like, you gotta go. You gotta go. You gotta go. And it was like, and then he just fucking left.
Yeah.
Then came back in though. And then they cleared it up, by the way. Then Harari and the management was like, dude,
we just didn't want to see nothing get broke or anything. No, like of course. That. So we were just like, all right, I don't know this guy. So somebody who got to go. Yeah.
And that was him.
Yeah.
And then he came back, by the way, and I said, I was like, dude, he can do his fucking spot. I'm leaving. I said what I had to say. He doesn't want to fight me. Yeah. I'm not going to fucking hit this guy. He's cowering like a bitch.
Yeah.
He's cowering like a bitch. And by the way, Jake Flores, you need to stop talking shit about people on the fucking internet, because guess what? You're not going to be lucky. The next guy, let me tell you something. If I was a real fucking thug, if that was Jimmy Martinez, imagine.
Oh, man.
Imagine if Jimmy was just there, who's my boy, and saw me in a fucking thing with a guy like that, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any fucking clue? Jake Flores would be fucking in the hospital right now. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, he doesn't understand. He crosses over a fucking threshold into real life. Yeah. This isn't fucking Twitter anymore, okay? I've been saying this for a long time. This isn't just to get my back on this argument, right? Our phones are becoming an extension of our bodies and our real life. This is who we are. Yeah. This is our brain, okay? So you are, I don't give a fuck, dude. It means actually more. When you're fucking, you're tweeting that shit, you're riling up 30,000 people against me. Yeah. You're telling people to show up at the creek and throw things at me and my friends. That fucking means something when you're saying it to 30,000 people. And you're not even saying it to 30,000 people, because there's an effect that goes wider and wider and wider and wider, okay? Yeah. So I would love to see the impressions on a tweet like that, because I guarantee it's way larger than 30,000.
Yeah.
That's not the amount of people that see it. It's way more than that.
Yeah.
So the responsibility of all of us is, yeah, dude, don't be a fucking idiot. Don't try to rile up people against other people. The only time I do that is a fucking response to people that do it to me. And I have the reputation that I talk shit to people on the internet, that I'm constantly starting shit. No, fuck you, dude. I defend myself regularly.
Yeah.
And by the way, 90% of the time, I twiddle my fucking thumbs and I don't say shit. And I go, all right, let me not make it another thing. Let me not make it another thing, because people love to fucking pop shit. But let me tell you something, when a fucking guy talks that much shit and then I see him in person, I'm gonna say something to him. And if you don't, if somebody's talking that much shit to you in fucking life every day, somebody at work is fucking going online afterwards on Facebook and being like, hey, fucking Donnie and fucking Cubicle 7F.
That's how like businesses get shot up, because people just hold all that in.
I know. Yeah. You need to fucking let it out. You need to have a conversation. You need to look somebody like, what's your fucking problem, dude? Yeah. What is the issue with me?
Yeah.
Because I didn't go up to him and try to, but by the way, nobody was between us. Yeah. If I wanted to, I could have beat him up very easily.
Yeah.
Don't paint it like I fucking assaulted you, you fucking bitch pussy.
Yeah.
If I wanted to, I would have just beat the shit out of you very, very, very easily. Nobody was stopping me. Nobody was getting your back. Security came. They half were like, Lewis, calm down. This guy, you know, buddy, get back upstairs in the small room.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't fucking, nobody was getting this guy's back. Nobody was going to stop me. I'm larger and more physically intimidating than any of the security staff at the stand. I'm sorry. They're all nice girls, but fuck it, they had a bunch of hot chicks of security. What do you want me to say? I will power bomb Adele through a table with ease. Tell her I said it. Come at me, Adele. I dare you. It's fucking psychotic, okay? And So for him to paint it like, oh, he assaulted me. No, no, dude. You're fucking lucky you got me, who was raised by whites, and I was raised by people that, dude, Puerto Rican kids that I grew up.
You mean the most angriest people in America?
Yeah, but there was always like, come on, buddy, let's go out back. That was the rules of engagement, right?
These were wrestling whites.
That's how white guys fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
White guys fight like,
no, white guys either shoot or tussle.
Well,
white guys just started fighting.
They tussle.
White guys tussle.
I grew up with the tusslers.
Murder.
I grew up with the tusslers. I didn't grow up with murder.
We give headlocks and shit.
Exactly. Yeah. I grew up with two guys that they didn't like each other. They had a thing. Yeah. A lot of times they were friends. They go, buddy, I got a problem with you. You got a problem with me. We're going to the parking lot right
and they
now.
Throw each other around.
Yeah, they fucking tussle a little bit.
No punches really went.
One guy, even if one does, one guy goes down and goes, all right, you had enough, pal. All right, we're done. We're good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy you a beer.
As opposed to some other cultures where then nine of your friends jump on
you. Yes.
Are you talking about
stop on your
Puerto
skull
Ricans
when
and
you
blacks?
Passed out?
Doggy, do you know what? Because I'm a weird mix of this, okay? I'm a weird mix of Puerto Rican and white. I am Puerto Rican and white, but also culturally, the way I grew up in white trash and like Puerto Rican trash.
Oh,
right?
White trash is different though. They fuck each other up all the time.
But it was still like they
and
throw fisticuffs.
I like those guys.
Yeah. They throw fisticuffs though.
Yeah.
The Puerto Rican kids that I grew up with, their cousins are showing up.
Yeah.
It's not even that they have knives. It never got there. They weren't even like murderers.
I'm talking
kids.
About the white guys.
I'm saying the Puerto Rican kids that I grew up with in Rockland County, New York, okay? Fucking Gano Amiga. My fucking next door neighbors. First time I got arrested was with at their party because a 19-year-old beat me up. I was 12.
Yeah.
I was 12, dude. A 19-year-old Nieta beat me up at their party.
Oh,
people don't realize I grew up because I was popping shit, chat shit, get hit, motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's why I look back and go, you know what? I should have been talking shit to that Nieta. And I was kidding, but he didn't get it. He wasn't in the world of a fat, jokey seventh grader. He was like, oh shit, I also am as big as him. And in the seventh grade, I'm 6 feet tall. I'm a 200-pound kid, you know?
Yeah.
So he in his mind, I'm probably 15, 16. I'm drinking at a party. He's like, all right. He also didn't beat me. He just hit me a couple times. He could have fucked me up. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you look back, like, it was like awful at the time. But when you look back, it's like, no, he was 19. He was beating up what he thought was a 16-year-old and he punched me in the face twice. It wasn't even a big deal.
Oh, that's funny.
But the reality is, the kids that I grew up with, if somebody was fighting, right? If you were in to fight with a kid they didn't fucking know.
Yeah.
One or two punches are thrown, and then everyone is just jumping in and fucking beating the shit out of that one kid.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. I've told the story on a couple podcasts before, but I started shifting away from those kids in like the 9th, 10th grade, like where they were still my friends.
Y'all can get in serious trouble for that shit.
It was just I wasn't hood like that, right? And I had friends that were hood. Then I had white friends who were like into music and in a band, and I shifted and I became more of the white version of who you see today.
Yeah.
But my formative years were real, dude. Patterson, New Jersey, Habershaw, Rockland County, the ghetto in Rockland County, like these formative years were really with a lot of violence, a lot of fucking like. Violence in my home with my mom, my dad against me, my sister beating me up constantly. The amount of violence that I saw, and then you go out into the street, and I was beat up for being Puerto Rican with all these white kids in my neighborhood. They were racist. I was on this white trash block. They were mad fucking racist, and I became friends with all these more like hood Puerto Rican and black kids because they were more like me, right? But I had this weird self-image because I was raised by white kids. I was beat up by these white kids on my block for not being brown, and then I went over to these brown and I never felt really brown and never felt accepted by them. People don't fucking know the perspective I have on race. Fuck anybody. You have these people that don't understand my history with race and what I've seen, the way that I've dealt with it emotionally on a very personal level. Don't tell me I can't say nigger. I can say any fucking word I want, okay? I've been through it all. You have no fucking clue what I've seen and the shit that I've been through when I was a fucking kid, okay? So these formative years was that. Then I started hanging out with these white kids and I became a drummer in this band, Salty Black Flower. Got really into heavy metal music. I was always into
Salty
metal music.
Salty Black Flower.
My first, I was a little metalhead kid hanging up with all the ghetto kids. I was wearing Megadeth t-shirts and Skid Row t-shirts.
Yeah.
And all my fucking Puerto Rican black friends would call me white boy.
Yeah.
Because I was the whitest of them.
Yeah.
I was the only kid that did well. Not even well. I got C's in school, and they were like, "Yo, Lewis is a genius,
That's good.
they were like, special ed kids.
Yeah.
So then
that makes a lot of sense. Like, I was going there, I'm like, oh yeah, sounds special ed.
So then
sounds like you spend a lot of time in one classroom.
I remember one time Salty Black Flower got into a fight with
Salty Black Flower.
There we are. Me, James Meekum, John Hickey.
Yo, you really changed your image.
Holy shit.
Cause this kid I wouldn't see hanging out with black people or Puerto Ricans.
Black people, Puerto Ricans? Yeah, this is Janko jeans.
Yeah,
he does look more white in that picture.
You look more white. Look at that, you look Hispanic. But you look like they were like so trying to cover it up.
We got into a fight.
You look like the Hispanic guy that's with a fat white girl with sweatpants.
Yeah, like y'all go to Target a lot.
There was a band. There was a band called Civil Descent. I don't think you'd be able to find pictures of them. But probably. This kid Justin Gelfand, who was a super nerdy Jewish kid, and then his two boys, I forget their names. Yeah. One of them actually listens to our shows now, and he told, because I've told the story before on Legion of Skanks, and he was like, "Dude, that was us." So a friend of a friend hit me up and be like, "Dude, he listens to your show."
Yeah.
So what's up if you're listening, kid? I'm about to tell the story again, but
look at those dreamy eyes. Bishop Kane.
That's my bio.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dog. Yeah, that was my pro wrestling name, Bishop Kane, my backyard wrestling name.
You was a backyard wrestler?
Not really. We just pretended to be. So, all right, enough.
Lou Dog.
Fucking piece of shit. Did I tell you to pull it up?
Lou Dog. I'm calling you that from now on.
Can we listen to some? We can listen to some Soul Train.
Is it on there?
Yes, heaps, apparently.
I don't think so. I think it's hard to find the MP3s, but you could try.
Look at this. They got some lyrics up here.
Can we do me a favor? I'm in the middle of a story.
I'm sorry.
Pull it up later, Nate. Okay? Jesus Christ.
I apologize.
I wanted to hear it.
No, I've also listened to Salty Black Floor on so many shows, but you can pull up some music. If you have some in the lyrics, too, it's great. I wrote some of the lyrics. They're really horrible. So we fucking, this band, somehow or another, it turns out they want to fight us.
Yeah.
Three on three. Three of them, three of us. It was supposed to be me, Meekum, and Dave Green, and we're supposed to show up at the diner, the whatever diner it is in Rockland County, Monterey Diner. So Meekum's girlfriend starts freaking out. She's like, "No, you're not fighting anybody." This bitch Kat. And she's like, "No, you're not fighting anybody." And she starts crying. And he's like, "Oh, guys, I can't fight." I was like, "You pussy." I was like, "Fuck it, Dave." I was like, "We're gonna do 2-on-3. Fuck it." But just in case, we're like in the 10th or 11th grade. I was like, "Just in case, I'm gonna go back to Railroad Avenue, which is my old block.
Yeah,
I'm gonna see if some of my boys will come with us. Just to make sure nothing gets out of hand." So I get a guy called Midnight, and this kid Kenji, and fucking all these fucking black and Puerto Rican kids from my block.
Yeah.
Now, this is an important question. Is it Ken, last initial G,
period? No, just one word, Kenji, African name.
Okay.
So we get all these kids, and I was like, yo.
Playing the clarinet.
I don't even say, all I say, these kids got some beef with me.
Yeah.
One of the Monterey Diner. Two carloads of kids just fucking, half of them weren't even old enough to drive. Yeah. Just roll
That's
with
45
me.
Puerto Ricans.
Damn. Just roll with me, like eight kids, right? Yeah. So now it's me, like eight Puerto Rican and black kids, Dave Green and James Meekum and his girlfriend in the background go, no.
Yeah.
It's fucking horrible. These kids show up and they're like, you know, ready to throw fist cuffs. So you guys ready to go? So me and Dave, supposed to be 2-on-3, still supposed to be 2-on-3.
Yeah.
So we didn't even take one of the black kids. I was like, ah, we'll fuck these kids up. Don't worry about it. So I start fighting with like two of them and they're pussies, you know, and then Dave and Justin start tussling on the ground, right? Yeah. So after like 10 seconds or so, I look over. And there's fucking six dudes stomping up the Jewish kid.
Midnight, no!
And I literally have to stop him. And I'm like, no, guys, you're going to kill him. Please don't. And they're like, yo, why'd you even bring us up here if we're not allowed to kill a motherfucker? Dog, they were so mad at me that I would waste their time because they wanted blood and they wanted violence. And they were just down for a fight because, to be honest with you, their formative years was spent with their moms and dads beating the fuck out of them and their brothers and sisters and cousins fucking them up. These motherfuckers don't understand the darkness that's inside of some of us. Yeah. They don't fucking get it. So Jake Flores, I don't know his background. It's not that.
Yeah,
I saw it in his eyes after 8 seconds. Mm. I saw he's not that. He's not, for whatever fucking Mexican upbringing he had in Austin, was not the same shit that I fucking dealt with.
Oh, he's Hispanic?
Yeah, he's Hispanic.
Oh, Flores. I thought that was a stage name or something.
So
he's a Mexican from Texas?
He's a Texican, yeah.
Oh, wow. Usually those are like tough guys, though.
I thought he was going to be tougher than that. I thought, but he's lucky that I had more of the white fisticuffy guy in me. Then the stomp this motherfucker. Okay, dude, you're talking shit now? I'd start hitting him. I could have, easily beat the shit out of this guy. Easily. So thank me, Jake Flores, you fucking bitch. You should be thanking your lucky fucking stars that I'm a civilized human being that just talked shit to you. Because his people on his Twitter and other comics that are friends with him were like, oh, yeah, it's got to come to violence. Like, no, motherfucker, I talked.
Yeah.
I talked shit in person. That's the difference. We both used words. Mm. Okay. He used words like a bitch. I used words to his fucking face and I meant them. Okay. Straight up. I fucking said, what's up? Let's go have a con. By the way, I also wasn't even saying, I was smart enough not to be like, I'm going to fuck you up, or I'm going to, let's go outside, I'm going to break your fucking jaw. Yeah. All that shit. Because I know that.
You didn't say that?
No, I didn't say any of that shit. I don't even remember what the words I was using. It was less violent. It was more.
Was there one in there?
I thought that's what I heard.
No.
There had to be one in there.
Hey man, I might have lost control at one point and fucking said I'll take you outside and I don't know what I said. Maybe I did. What did I say?
But your fucking head open.
I was being very civilized.
Yeah.
I said, "Would you like to have some cheese and wine?"
Yeah, you offered them crackers.
Discuss this over a pint.
Discuss this problem, like gentlemen.
Can you imagine having to go back in time to like the 50s and explain to a grown man that you went home and tweeted
about
a fight? It's like when you see grown men online,
I just wouldn't
be like
it.
Post a meme that they like chicken tendies. It's like I hate you so much.
Yeah, yeah.
I like chicken.
No, it's
fine. Nah, well, no one's surprised. It's calling the tendies.
The tendies part is gay.
Yeah, it's you're right, because he goes and he tweets it. It's like he's almost. I'm blind to this. He's bragging.
I just wouldn't have said nothing. If I knew I wasn't about that life, then I wouldn't have brought it up. I would have just let it die down. Because nobody was going to say anything. Like, it really, like, right after y'all left.
It was a non-event. The reality is, if you're
used. Yeah, nobody said nothing. Nobody was talking about anything. So
if you're used to some real shit, okay? Yeah. If you're used to some real shit, that's a non-event. If you've just ever been in a real fucking skirmish or fight or thing, that was a non-event. That was somebody fucking getting chumped out. Now, look, he's embarrassed now. He looked like a bitch. He didn't do his spot like a fucking punk, you know?
No, he bailed out of his spot.
Louisa apologized to me.
I mean, you didn't really let him do a spot.
No, I told him. I left. I said, look, have him come. I'm leaving. I'll let him do a spot.
Louis was screaming at him for that 15 minutes he was supposed to be on
stage. I said, you're supposed to go on stage, pussy?
Fuck you. You ain't going nowhere.
Oh, yeah. And then he tweeted out about, and then the stand responded to him. They're like, we didn't kick you out. In fact, one of our managers offered to escort you to the back near the showroom to focus on your upcoming set. We don't know what you and the show's producer discussed, but it looked like to us you left under your own volition.
Big word.
Yeah. Which is true. I at that point, once it died down, I was like, I'm not gonna hit him. He's not trying to fight me. I was trying to goad him into hitting me. This is what was going on. I wanted him to swing on me so I could beat the fucking shit out of him. And that's what I wanted to happen. I'm not gonna hide that fact. But to be honest with you, I'm over it now. I don't need to fucking do that again. I don't need to see him. He knows the way I fucking feel. I promise you, he won't look at me again. I promise you. He's stupid for tweeting again. He's dumb because, but I get it, he's upset. He's, you know, the only thing he's got in that moment is he tweeted afterwards. He was like, I'm not one to go to the cops, which, by the way, he tweeted about an hour before. He tweeted about how there's a lot of cops on the D train, so everyone watch out, because he's like anti-cop. Yeah. So he can't go to the cops, or he's a fucking hypocrite.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, I might want to go to the cops, but people should just know there's a violent person in the comedy community. It's like, no, people don't have a problem with me. I've never been violent in a comedy club. Mm-hmm. Nobody has it. No real comics have issues with me. But I will tell you right now, if you continuously talk shit about me and my friends, if you wish violence upon me and my friends, if you tell 30,000 people that follow you that they should show up and throw things at me and my friends, I'm going to have words with you in person. Mm-hmm. And I might say things you're not going to like. And you may feel threatened, and you may feel like fucking, so do something about it. Be a fucking man and do something about it. If you feel threatened and you're a fucking man, don't go to fucking Twitter. Man the fuck up and do something about it. Or just say, hey, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't talk shit like that. Maybe I shouldn't spend my life on Twitter talking shit to fucking men. What do you want me to say? It's not just me.
Yeah.
Dude, people don't fucking like him. The amount of people that were like, dude, afterwards were like, dude, good, fuck that guy. That guy's a fucking piece of shit. Yeah. He piles onto people when they're fucking down. Pile onto Shane Gillis, a good dude. Fuck off, dude. Everyone knows Shane's a good dude. Everyone knows that. To pile onto a guy like that when he's at his lowest fucking moment, because you'll never have any moment.
Man.
Fuck that. Guys like that make it their moment. Seth Simons, another guy. He starts tweeting out afterwards. Fuck that guy too. Yeah. If I saw Seth Simons at a comedy club, I would go up to him and be like, what's your problem? I wouldn't fight him. I wouldn't hit him. Yeah, it would be very simple, painless even, if for a handful of headliners to declare they will not work clubs that give home to comics who assault other comics. So, yeah, that's right. You think the stand's going to cancel me over this, Seth Simons, you fucking moron? Patrick booked me the same night as this guy. He knows the whole fucking history. You think these guys are fucking stupid? We're adults. We're not in high school. We don't need to be fucking policed by the bookers and the managers of the clubs, okay? He's a bitch. He didn't get fucking hit. He's lucky he didn't get hit. He's lucky that I'm a fucking civilized human being. He's lucky that I am a domesticated animal. That is the best way to describe me. And write it down. You know that's the name of the fucking show. I'm a domesticated animal. And he's lucky that fucking...
D-U-M-B.
God damn it. Where are my fucking sound effects? Nate, fix them. Get the music going. It's fucking infuriating. My sound effects are not here right now. That was a great joke right there. Domesticated.
It's funny.
Fix it.
That's a sound effect?
No, that's whenever Nate's here.
I thought it was muted.
There we go. All right, get him out now. Zach, say it again. We're going to edit this all.
Yeah, D-U-M-B.
Zip, 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 zip.
Pew, pew.
Didn't work.
Yeah. It could have been better. Could have been better. So.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, there's not really much else to the story.
Yeah, don't get riled up, man. I feel like you got high blood pressure or some shit.
I'm fine. I'm fine now. I made my point.
But is it weird that I did kind of want to hear if you punched some Brooklyn comic in the face?
I know.
That would have made
me
happy.
People,
a
lot of people wanted that to happen.
Made me very happy.
I don't go around just hitting people.
He's also the kind of person that if you hit him, would tweet pictures of the injury. Right.
And then he would go like to the cops after talking to you.
Yeah, I didn't, it didn't need to get there.
Yeah.
But I was just, I treated it as him saying all this stuff in real life. The shit that he said on Twitter, I just treated it as like he's just standing there for me. And then I saw like just 100 things in a row, him being like, man, ba-ba, ba-ba. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, Seth Simons, if he showed up at a comedy club, by the way, it's not just me. A lot of comics would approach that guy and be like, yeah, what's your problem, dude?
Man.
And if he fucking, if he reacted anyway, even like slightly fucking aggressive, it might get to the point where like I'm talking shit to this fucking guy and I'm trying to goad him into hitting me. You know, but all of these guys, they're bullies. This is what it is, okay? Yeah. It's this reverse bullying thing where they go and they just keep on fucking taking shots and keep on hitting. And then eventually when you hit back, then it's like, oh, look.
They play victim, right?
Look what these guys, you're like, dude, stop being a fucking bully then. What do you want me to say? No. I don't know who the fuck these people are. I would never mention them in a million years. So, that's what happened. Yeah. That's the story with Jake. But he did go on Twitter after, he's bragging about bitching. I don't understand that mentality of being like, so yeah, he came up to me and he spit in my eye and he called me a bitch and he smacked my sister on the ass. He made out with my mom. He fingered my daughter. And I'm okay with it. I walked away.
But what are you
bragging,
expect?
Dude? Hide these facts. Yeah. Stop being such a pussy.
But what do they expect? They talk all this shit and not one person's going to get pissed off and confront them and choke them?
Yeah.
Not one person.
I'm not saying to choke. Here's the thing. I got to make it very clear. And I'm not just saying this to cover my ass.
Right.
I'm saying don't fucking go out and start hitting people. You know what I'm saying? Don't start choking people. But I mean, I just didn't grow up in a way where if somebody was talking shit, you wouldn't say this. You wouldn't at least say, hey, what's your problem? What the fuck's going on?
Right.
Right. And, I don't know. I think that may be a better way to be. I think most people would probably check themselves a little bit more if they had the fear of somebody actually confronting them. And I'm not saying confronting them in a physically intimidating way. I'm saying just call them on their shit.
Yeah.
Call them on their actions, you know? Because I live my life that way. I live my life in a way where like, yeah, dude, if I'm talking shit to somebody, expect them to punch me in the face. My son's mother got mad at me because I taught my son that lesson. I taught him the chat shit get hit lesson. When I wasn't saying to hit somebody if they're talking shit. That wasn't the lesson that I taught my son. The lesson that I taught my son was because somebody was standing in the way on the subway, and there's been a couple incidents on the subway now where like his mom got attacked by a chick in the subway. And
oh, shit.
Who?
His mom, Beatrice.
Oh, wow.
So this girl like pulled her hair. It was dumb. But so she, what's it called? There was a guy in the way on the subway, and my son like said almost loudly, like, oh, this guy's being rude, he's standing in the way. Because it was like he just remembered that incident, the way his mom described the girl. So I said to him, I pulled him aside, I was like, James, he could hear what you're saying. I was like, maybe he is being rude. I was like, but just so you know, there's consequences for those actions. I was like, let's say he hears you say something now And now he says something back to you. Well, now I'm in a situation where I'm in a thing with a guy. Do you want to see me get into a confrontation?
Yeah.
I was like, just pick and choose the arguments. Pick and choose the times you're going to. And I'm speaking to myself in a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming outside of my body.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm not. But the reality is you have to fucking. You have to check yourself and understand, like, if you talk shit to somebody, they may fucking get in your face at one point and they may say some shit. And I have more respect for the fucking guy who does that and says something in person than the guy who goes and tweets about it with fucking Twitter fingers.
Yeah.
It's a bitchiest fucking way to be. It's one of the problems with society right now. I legitimately feel like it's one of the issues that we have right now with our country and with young people in this country is that people live their lives in a world of social media, and it's like, well, there's no consequence for actions. We can say what we want. But now it's starting to spill over. You see, like, these protests and people getting fucking murdered and people showing up at people's houses and people fucking confronting them at comedy clubs. It's, you know, everything's going to be more physically integrated with this virtual world, and there's an adjustment period. I think this whole era, the time that we live in, when it's all said and done, when the smoke clears a couple hundred years from now, it's going to be like, those guys kind of got fucked because we didn't know how to deal with this technology and the sharing of information, and it created a lot of adversity and a lot of people at odds. Instead of it being this beautiful thing where we're sharing ideas and growing as a culture regularly, now it's a thing where we're at odds and going like, people are politicizing like scientific events. You're like, what are you doing? It's like, let's just like use the technology for some good.
You can learn whatever you want, but people rather just go at each other and like, you know.
This is the most together we've ever been, and we all hate each other.
I think people forget they live in the real world and not like the simulation. I always think about, you remember the chick that complained online that Louis went to her gym?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there was a girl online and she like wrote this thing.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Was he not allowed to work out?
And it's like, bitch, you live in reality. He also lives in reality. Right. You might see him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, it's sort of crazy. And to be honest with you, you know, whatever, I think it'll figure itself out eventually.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be shamed for approaching a fucking guy. I probably didn't have to get as big and as angry as I got. But I'm telling you, he was just so big. He was such a big guy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how big he was going to be. And I worked myself up at that point. I was like,
you're going in.
Mullen told me that. Then he went 2-1. He went 2-1.
Business.
I know. No, I swear to God, I was like, all right, this kid's going to fucking.
Yeah.
I was straight up like, I was in a position where like I kind of was like turning my head a little bit because I was like, if he swings, I don't want to just get fucking a straight on shot. And I'm not pretending that I'm tough. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. This isn't like a thing where I'm going like, yo, I'm a bad motherfucker. Like, I'm just saying, just in general, like, you know, if somebody talks shit to you, you should stand up for yourself.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't let people fucking bully you, online or not. I teach, if somebody was tweeting at my son 100 times and telling people to show up and possibly hurt my son, I would say, you have to approach that person. Another little kid, I was like, no, you have to make sure that kid doesn't bully you. That kid's bullying you, okay, give him the fucking 112, boom, he's done. Mm. Not even gonna think about it. That's that. It's the only good lesson my mom taught me.
Yeah.
You know? You know, I got bullied relentlessly as a kid until I started fucking punching these kids in the face and hitting them back and not letting them walk all over me. They didn't stop. And they really did. It's such a hack fucking story, but it's so true. Every one of them, they would beat me up. My mom, I would come home crying every day. These white kids in my neighborhood, they would throw rocks at me. They would chase me. And I would, my mom was like, you have to stop crying. You're fighting them right now. And she dragged me out of the house and brought me to each one of their houses. And four kids in a row, I fought. It was Tommy Robinson, J.R. Robinson, Ryan Nolan, and Nick Giacoli.
Yeah.
Okay, all four in a row. And I got the best of the three of them.
Yeah.
And then Nick Giacoli beat the shit out of me in front of my mom.
And what'd she do? Beat you up again?
She didn't beat me up again, but she was like, yeah, pick yourself up. You got beat. You lost. It is what it is. You know, and then we walked away, and those kids just kind of stopped fucking with me. Yeah. That was that. Maybe it was because my crazy mom was going to drag me to their house again. But they don't want that fucking fight, doggy. They don't want that shit. Yeah. They're not trying to fucking get hit or deal with any sort of, you know, consequences for their actions.
Yeah.
So don't treat me like I'm being the bully. I'm the fucking kid being bullied by these guys. And eventually, I'm Ralphie in the fucking Christmas Story. Okay?
Yeah.
That's it. Pull up that scene. Pull up Ralphie in a Christmas Story. You know that story, right?
Where he gets stuck to the pole?
No. That's me.
Yeah, I'm like... Yeah, I'm like, is that what you are?
No, the scene where he's getting bullied and he's had enough.
Oh, I didn't see that scene.
He punches the kid with the raccoon hat in the face.
Can somebody please, and it's not going to be Nick because he's
Scott
too
Farkas.
Busy. Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Scott Farkas. Can we have a fan please just put Jake Flores's face on the bully and my face on Ralphie? Because this is what it is, okay? Do you have that scene? Here we go. Pull it out. Get some volume. One of my favorite scenes ever.
Oh, wow.
That's the milkshake.
This scene sticks with me as a fucking kid. Look, I hated this kid. That's Kath Barbadaro. It's Kath Barbadaro.
Except she just wants a snowball sandwich.
Listen, jerk. When I tell you to come, you better come.
Hey, this is me. I'm just upset. My glasses are on the floor now.
Cry now. Come on, cry, baby. Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
Deep on the recess. That was a milkshake that he threw at him at first. In that scene, it wasn't a snowball. Say it to my face, motherfucker! You want to tweet, bitch? You want to tweet? I'm here now.
Going out of my skull.
There we go. There's Kat.
Stand bouncing.
Hey, you're not funny. You're not funny. Fuck you, you fat bitch. I literally tweeted that at her. She chimed in and I was like, fuck you, you fat bitch. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of having to play by the fucking rules. That's right. And here's us. Here, look. Here's Monroe and Derek.
You fucking over them.
Yeah, you know what he said. Hey, look, there's all the staff at the stand. There's Nick Mullen, Tim Dillon.
Holy smokes.
He did say the N-word three
does,
times
right?
in there. I mean,
it's getting
I thought I heard it.
Like, they slip it in a couple times. Yeah.
I became conscious that a steady torrent of obscenities and swearing.
Here we go. Here's Shannon and Nate.
Pouring out of me as I screamed.
Here we go. Here we go.
Ralphie!
There we go.
Ralphie!
Ralphie is a serial killer. Yeah. I mean, he's crying.
She's like, let's get out of here before we wake up.
Just keeps bleeding. She leaves him. In a
she just leaves
she
him.
She's
like, hurry up, let's go. He's dead. She's a bad mom.
Good. And that kid never tweeted again, except when he got home. Right after this, apparently, he got right back on Twitter. He didn't learn his fucking lesson.
Now pull up the scene where Lewis drops the lug nuts and yells the N-word.
Nuggets. But it wasn't Nuggets. Yeah, it was the king of all N-words. I wish I was different. I wish I was a different me. I'm not always going to be able to be perfect.
No one's perfect.
You know, but he should fucking pay. He should know. If you fucking, you should know.
He did pay.
That's
the
enough.
Lesson,
no,
he, though?
The lesson,
did he really learn a lesson?
He didn't learn a lesson, though, because he's still
he
fucking
went home
tweeting.
And tweeted.
I know. But he knows.
I mean, that's still
he knows
the lesson,
that,
though.
He'll likely just not show up at a comedy club the Met again. But he should know that it's safe.
Or, yeah, comedy is a very safe place.
Yeah.
It is. If you
it
make
is.
It safe, comedy is what you make it. Comedy, like, if you make it rough for yourself, then people will treat you as such. So he just knows to make it a better environment to like not attack his peers because they're the people that
yeah but he still will
because
he's got a grandstand no
I mean if he's a man though
he,
a man
won't.
A man would
a man.
Kind of be like you know what nah it ain't worth it and then just pick
yeah,
and choose your battle
he's still tweeting and it's fine and look
lesson
but you also
learned.
Give into it and you build yeah. his following though
not really. Nobody.
You entertain his following because isn't that what this is about? Like, if you can't get on stage,
yes,
and
it's
you got
a show
Twitter,
to a certain
you
degree.
You got to put on the show.
Mm. That's what he's doing. I think it's more show for him. But he doesn't understand. It's like, dude, when it comes over into real life, like, I don't use my social media as just a show. I use my social media to promote my gigs. Yeah. I use my social media to connect with fans. Mm. It's an extension.
But not everybody's like that, though. Well, some people are going, how can I make a mark? If I can't get on TV, if I can't get people to, like, watch my stand-up, I gotta get their attention somehow.
Yeah.
And you're an easy target because y'all are the legion of skanks and everybody doesn't really listen to you. They just... They follow the buzz and the triggers.
Yeah, if you don't
shit.
Listen, you know, I understand the perspective on it that we're like these fucking savages who say crazy shit and we're racist.
Absolutely.
And alt-right and like, but you know, the reality is I don't have a problem with anybody that has you know, if you don't like that brand of comedy or you even think it's wrong.
There's other brands of comedy.
I also think it's okay for you if you're just a fucking normal person working a 9-to-5 and you feel like it's wrong. And you even want to tweet like, holy shit, that really offended me and triggered me, then more power to you. Yeah. But when it's a comedian doing it, it hits me in a very specific nerve.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's that's
because
the thing
that shit
really
is for the back table. I feel like comedian talk isn't for the public. It's for peers.
I would fucking get this guy's back. If somebody was to this day. If he was outside and some guys were just fucking with him, I'd probably go and get his stupid fucking dumb pussy bitch fucking faggot back.
Damn.
I probably would.
Faggot back.
I'd probably go get his back and be like, hey guys, scram, this is my beef. And I'd start hitting him a little bit, but not as hard as they would have. Like, you fucking lucky I'm here. Goosh, goosh. Because I consider us all brothers and sisters in a weird way.
Yes.
We all fight this fight. I have this romanticized version of what the New York comedy scene is and what it is to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't sort of have, you know, look at it that way. You know, when you go into an open mic in New York City or anywhere, there's a lawyer, there's a 74-year-old grandma, there's a psychiatric patient, there's a rich kid from Harvard, there's a fucking 16-year-old Future Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
Everybody from every wake of life. I mean, look at all the backgrounds fucking here. You know what I'm saying? There's so much diversity just in the room alone that, you know, and it's not like... Like, we're all intermingled. It's not, I understand, like, yes, you could probably find diversity in other rooms as well. What I'm saying is, like, we're all, we have this common goal, and we're all trying to figure this thing out together. And this is why comics do sound very self-important when we talk about it, because we all, dude, we're putting our faith into this fucking really silly thing, and you put everything into it. If you're good at it, you put every single bit of faith into it, and you put blind faith. When I, you know, my son's mother didn't believe in this.
Yeah.
You know, we're not together.
Boy, was she right?
No, but she was wrong in a very big way because I make decent money now and I'm doing very well and I have things that are going on. And she didn't believe it. And I'm not saying that that's what broke us up. Like, we started fighting and things started falling apart more and more. But I think a big part of it was because she just didn't have the same type of blind faith that I had in my ability to sort of put this together. And that scared her. That really made her very nervous, especially we had a kid on the way.
Yeah.
That blind faith, that's what makes comedians special.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
It's nothing else. It's saying, I'm going to put everything into this thing. I have no idea what the outcome is. It doesn't even seem like there is a path to making a living. Monroe, do you remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember where it's like, dude, telling jokes.
I'm going to
pay all my bills.
Yeah.
I'm going to get rich. The idea of doing that.
Yeah.
It is nearly impossible. I couldn't even give somebody advice on how to do it. There's no path. Everyone has their own path.
Is do it. You go.
Just do it. Keep showing up.
Do it. Just keep showing up.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. The blog that I wrote, the 25 best pieces of advice that comedians give other comedians. That was a piece of advice that Joey Gay gave me.
Yeah.
I was down one day.
Yeah.
Just down on my fucking luck, feeling shitty. I was like, dude, this sucks. I don't even want to do this anymore. And he goes, dude. Peaks and valleys, keep showing up.
Just keep showing up.
Yep. That's that. And you will find your path. You know what I'm saying? And that blind faith, that's why not everyone can do it. I don't think people articulate that enough. It's not about being funny, not about being special. It's that. And there's other things as well. There's obviously most, I think, forms of art or entertainment.
Yeah.
You have to have this blind faith and this ability. But comedy in itself, there's no rules. There's no real classes. There's nothing.
Yeah.
You're showing up at an open mic and you're just doing it.
That's what's weird about stuff like that, because it's like, who are you trying to get justice from when they like, when people tell in comedy, like, this happened to me, it's like, there's no HR.
Yeah.
Like, who are you telling on?
I mean, look at the followers that this guy has, though. And he's also verified.
Controversy feeds comedy.
Yeah.
So the more people are talking about you, regardless if they're like, he's a bully, he's an asshole, I'm like, oh, I got to see if this shit.
It's emotion, you know what I'm saying? And, emotion sells.
Yeah.
That simple as that. It's emotional triggers.
Yeah. It's all entertainment, so they don't fucking, it's wrestling.
Yeah. So look, all right, that's that. That's all I want to say about that. That was a full hour on it. Wow.
God, that was great.
For somebody who doesn't care.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even give a fuck about this guy. 2 minutes later. This motherfucker.
Dougie, I'm trying. I'm being the best version of me. What am I supposed to do?
Very good.
Let's get some plugs out of the way real quick. I got to ask some advice from you guys as well. Monroe Martin, what would you like to plug, my brother?
No Need for Apologies. The podcast comes on Wednesdays right after Real Last Podcast, then repeats on Sunday. And then you can follow me at all my shit. Monroe Martin Comedy, III. No, it's Monroe Martin, III, and then MonroeMartinComedy.com.
Nice. Yeah. Love it. Doug Bryan.
Follow me on Instagram at TheDougBryan. Doug Bryan on Twitter. I'll be at the Co-op in New Brunswick tonight. And Punching Bag Comedy in Brooklyn, January 4th.
Love it. Beautiful. Zach Amico. Oh,
Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my other show here on the network, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, every Friday at midnight tonight. I got some friends in to watch The Howling 2, which is one of the worst movies I've had on the show yet. Very excited about it. And Capital Wrestling, every single Saturday morning at 11 a.m. here on the Gas Digital Network.
Saturday Morning Wrestling featuring Zach Amico and Christian Brooklyn. A lot of amazing characters from the Gas Digital world. Maybe some more appearances from the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake eventually. We'll see what happens. A lot of shit happening over in the Capital Wrestling neck of the woods. You know what the fuck's up, guys. Skankfest is happening March 27th to 29th. Skankfest South, Houston, Texas. First time we're bringing it on the road. Tickets are moving fast. I can tell you right now, Saturday is going to be sold out pretty soon. Saturday is going to sell out earlier than we've ever sold it out, which means that more pre-sale sold out faster than we've ever sold it out. We are further ahead than we've ever been. It's never not sold out. So if I were you guys, I wouldn't wait anymore. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, dude, I'm going to wait till a couple months out. Maybe they'll discount them. We're not discounting the tickets. I don't know why people say that. We're never going to discount the tickets. It is worth it. It is nonstop show. It's going to be over 100 performers from all over the fucking country, all over the world, that is. Okay, the best comedy fans in the world, the best audiences in the world. Performances by yours truly, the Legion of Skanks. It's going to be Tom Green is coming at the Skankfest for the first time. Jim Norton, Jim Florentine, Robert Kelly, Zach Amico's going to be there. Monroe, are you coming to Skankfest?
I didn't get
no,
invite.
No.
I didn't get no.
Are you
invite.
Available March 27th to 29th?
Yeah.
We're going to get Monroe Martin. It's going to get fucking crazy. I love Monroe. That's crazy. That's crazy. I keep on doing this every time I have somebody on. When I start plugging it, I'm like, you're not invited. You're coming too.
You're going to run out of money.
We're really close already. Robert Kelly, Rod Bennington, the great Sal Vacano from the Impractical Jokers, Tim Dillon, dope. Shane Gillis, Nate Bargatze, the legendary Nate Bargatze, Racine, Mark Norman, Joe List, The Kumia Show, Kill Tony, Tony Hinchcliffe, Doug Benson with Doug Loves Movies. I mean, I'm telling you right now, you have shows that are happening. If you go to Just for Laughs, you'll spend $80 on one show one night, okay? If you come to one day, it's $125 per day, or you get the entire weekend, all 3 days from noon till 2 a.m., four separate stages for just $350. It is a fucking steal. Make this your vacation this year. Houston is amazing in March. It's going to be 80 degrees at night. Yeah. We're doing the goddamn comedy gym all 3 nights outside, outdoor shows for the first time ever at Skankfest.
Dope.
Skankfest.net is the website. Grab your tickets right now. We're giving away tickets next week. We'll give away a pair on Monday. We'll do something. We got to do more contests. Have we have any more submissions for my babysitter, Shannon?
I don't think so.
You looking for a new babysitter?
I'm trying to get they get to enter a contest to be my new babysitter.
Mm.
They got to be hot.
Okay, I guess the rule. Because Baby James got fucking. He got
grow up
taste.
Around some place. Yeah, he's fucking future royalty. Yeah. Okay.
Don't you say you show ding-a-ling to.
Also,
babysitters.
Of course.
Wait, I think we actually do have one now. Like, give me 1 second.
No, we won't do it now. We'll do it next week.
Okay.
Also, guys, a lot of other stuff coming up. Luis J. Gomez presents LuisJGomez.com is the website. Grab the special if you haven't seen my hour. That's out right now. Which, by the way, guys, write it in on all these lists. I'm not on any of these end of the year lists, of course. Best comedy special, of course. Why wouldn't I? Why would I be? The industry's afraid of me. They don't want to fucking show that they're signing with the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, but I'm seeing some of these fucking specials that are out there. Go watch Luis J. Gomez presents LuisJGomez.com. Watch that fucking hour of comedy and tell me it's not one of the best hours you've ever fucking seen. Go fuck yourself. I'm sick of having to be humble as well. Suck a fucking dick. Comedy sucks today. Go watch what the fuck I do, okay? Lots more gigs coming up. New Year's Eve, Legion of Skanks live at the Comedy Store. Then I'll be with Metzger in San Diego, California, the 2nd through the 4th. Then we're in Philadelphia, the 17th through 19th.
Dope.
Hartford, Albany, Syracuse, Buffalo. Zach Amico is going to be on that gig. Cleveland, Fort Wayne, Indianapolis, Arlington. Lots of gigs coming up, guys. Go to Luis J. Gomez, presents LuisJGomez.com, and grab your tickets right now for any of those gigs. Also, go to our iTunes right now. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. One reviewer is going to get a free pair of All Access passes. No, no, sorry. A free t-shirt or a mug. way less cool. But you know what? How about this? We're going to take all the reviewers that have won in the past 6 months. No, we're not. Forget it. I'm sorry. There's no reason to do that. This extra work for Shannon. She's upset right now. We're going to do some more contests. Don't you worry. But one reviewer, good or bad, we will give a free piece of merch to. Podcastmerch.com is your website to grab all of the Real Ass Podcast merch. And that's that. Let's go. Good.
Right.
All right. I'm going on a date tonight. I'm not saying with who. Say nothing. But it's a chick who's done porn.
Oh. Who then?
Just say nothing. Okay. Jesus Christ. Yeah. We just said say nothing.
All right.
I'm very excited about this. I'm sort of torn, though.
She's a comedian, too?
No, she's not a comedian. It's not Aaliyah Janine. Are you out of your fucking mind?
We're having dinner at 3:30 p.m.
That was my first. I was like, is that
the fuck out of here? No offense, Aaliyah. Aaliyah, you're great, but, you know, this one's fucking... So, listen to me. I've been texting with her back and forth. Okay, we've been fucking very just casual, nothing crazy. Not like usually other girls. Within a week, I'm getting a little sexual, right?
Yeah.
I'm not. It's the opposite. But this, I'm just like, hey, what's going on? Yeah. I'm just reading a book. What are you doing?
You're taking your time.
Taking my time.
Trying to let it marinate.
Okay, but this chick is gorgeous. She is. I mean, she is
stunning.
Stunning, like ridiculous. Okay, and. She's also a pretty well-known porn chick, and I will tell you right now, I have reservations because here's the problem. I already like her a little bit, because it's not been sexual. It's just been all like very casual.
Yeah.
And when I hung out with her, like she gave me like a fucking, she gave me a look where I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh, does she give me like a blowjob?
She
looked at me.
A sloppy blowjob. She pegged me on camera.
Wow.
Then she looked at me after.
Yeah. Then she looked me in my eyes and said, I'm special.
But now I'm concerned where if I start going out with this chick, I'm going to start developing feelings. And I have to quell that right away. Can I, Zach? Can I make a porn star Baby James' stepmom?
Yeah.
Man. You know her work.
He's had worse options in the past.
Yeah, I mean, look.
This porn star might be funny.
To be honest with you, the porn chicks, they fuck less dudes than
regular
chicks. Because they end up working with the guys they like, right? A few guys they like. The bigger ones. Not like the fucking, So I feel like more than likely, there's a few girls that I've been with that have probably been with more dudes than this chick.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is it's just not on camera. And Baby James at one point is just going to be able to Google a stepmom.
Yeah, but then that means you got to make a video with her. That way you'll be like,
That'd be great.
This was real.
Yes, digital porn.
This is the way you do it.
There was the scene. Remember there was that movie Girl Next Door with Alicia Cuthbert?
Never seen it.
First of all, I liked
super hot.
Doggy, I liked Alicia Cuthbert before anybody did. I liked Alicia Cuthbert when she was on 24 as Jack Bauer's daughter. Me and Dave Smith would watch 24 every week at Big J's apartment.
Okay? Beat off.
We would just we would cross jerk. Yeah. So we'd beat each other off, but it wasn't gay because it was the same time. If you catch the same rhythm, or even an offbeat rhythm, that's kind of fine. Like so she. But Alicia Cuthbert was, and then she was in Step Brothers, and she played the boss. But no, not Step Brothers.
I don't know who she is, so I'm trying to pinpoint.
Pull up Alicia Cuthbert in Girl Next Door.
Right? The blonde girl?
Yeah. Blonde girl. Pull her up in Girl Next Door. She's a Canadian bitch. And nobody talked, she had like a fucking year or two reign where people gave a fuck about this girl.
Oh, yeah.
She was crazy. This is her FHM spread, if I'm not mistaken. She was so fucking hot back in the day.
I love the way Lewis ranks women because he just went, white.
No, she was wearing a white thing.
White?
Yeah, that's the Rochester. Where are you from again?
Rockland County.
Yeah. That's the Rockland County coming out.
But you can pull her up in Girl Next Door. So she was in another movie called Girl Next Door. And
she plays a, like, a porn star moves in next door to like a horny kid.
Yeah, like a teenage kid.
Oh, I remember that movie.
And he likes her and she kind of likes him.
And he's trying to hit. And then
the first time they hang out, he gets like really aggressive and like.
Yeah.
And then she knows just by the way he's acting that he found out that she's into porn.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I'm not trying to be that kid.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be like.
Oh, but she knows you know.
She knows I know.
But I am trying to be that kid's fat friend with a camera.
Yeah, for sure. Look at how hot Alicia Cuthbert was in this fucking movie. Fuck off. Where is she now? She's all fucking scaggly and old. Poor Alicia.
Had work done on her face.
Yeah, did she get work done?
Yeah, that last picture he showed didn't even really look like her.
Let's see. I want to see her now. 2019, Alicia Cuthbert. I bet she didn't hold up because she's not in anything. Yeah,
there you go. A fat face, fake chin.
Yeah, she got fucking chubby fucking face. What are you doing now?
That's just a bad angle, but she still looks the same.
No, doggy, she's
she looks the same.
She's got a fucking Rachel Ray.
She's got a cookbook now.
The thing is, I'd fuck Rachel Ray.
This bitch has her own.
You got to find a better angle.
She's got her own.
Yeah, look at that.
I can't go by
the
angle.
She's got her own pots and pans and Sears.
Yeah,
fucking Cuthbert. Let's see. Let's see another angle. There's got to be some better. She's not. She didn't hold up, doggy.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, oh,
what
no.
What are you talking about?
Oh,
ah, no, dog.
Oh, God.
She
Jesus
was
Christ.
Goddamn perfection when she was 20 years old.
Get that the fuck out
and
of here.
Look at this fucking ghost face bitch.
Oh.
Look at her. What happened to her chin, too? She got more of a pronounced Dan Soder chin as she aged.
That shit.
Her chin,
chin
is growing. How's
her
chin growing?
Her tits
are
in her ribs.
Look at her then and now. Imagine that, dude. Imagine you fucking wife her up. You're like, dude, this girl is the hottest girl ever. Yeah. And then just year by year, she starts looking more and more like a grape. Look at her. Look at her face just sucking, like sucking in around that chin. She's eventually going to be a walking chin.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Who's the other girl that got fat? Kelly Clarkson, right?
She was always fat, though, right?
No,
yeah,
but
she really
when she when Kelly Clarkson came out, when the new Clarksons were out the first time, she was cute. She was a cute chick who was like, she might have to just fucking stay on. She had a look of like, if she doesn't stay on top of it, she could get fat.
She needed a nutritionist 24/7.
Yeah, and she let herself fucking go. And now she's an advocate of spanking your children. So now I'm just like, yeah, look at
that.
That's
her in the beginning?
Yeah, dude. That's her in the fucking
beginning. Why did I always think she was a fat hog?
No, she wasn't fat, but you could see there. She's soft in the tummy. You could just tell that chick's gonna be fat one day.
Look at her arms; they're kind of beefy too.
Yeah, there's a little bit of there's a little chunkiness to her. There's certain girls. I hate to say it. It's Shannon. It's a Shannon type of thing because Shannon is hot as fuck right now, but Shannon is still lurking around. You know, you're like, right, dude, put some cookies out on the table for a couple days in a row. We'll see how fucking far Shannon goes.
You bring plenty of cookies here, Lewis. You eat most of them.
Oh, you bitch! I'm back, by the way, on my diet. You fucking, I really am. 2 days in a row now.
Yeah, this is her a little bigger.
Oh, my God. Oh,
man, look at those shoulders.
Yeah, holy shit.
She had kids.
Oh, that was her pregnant?
No.
No, she ate children.
Kids in the morning, kids in the evening, kids at supper time.
Would you see Jessica Simpson when she blew up? How fucking fat that poor girl got?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I feel bad for women that get fat.
I'll say Christina Aguilera looked hot fatter.
No, that's
kinda
wrong.
Like the pudgy.
When Christina Aguilera came out when she was like 12 or whatever, she was a goddamn angel. Christina Aguilera, when she... Holy shit!
That's Jessica Simpson. Look at that.
I think she's pregnant. She's got to be
pregnant.
That's
Zach Amico. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Amico at the debut for his new trauma
Lindy
film.
West.
Doggy, that's crazy.
Oh, man.
Let's see. It is what it is. I'm fat. These women, by the way, when they're in shape, they get to look at a guy in the face and be like, yeah, you're a fat fuck, haha, high-five each other and fucking tweet about it. So fuck them. This is the world we live in. We have to live by double standards every fucking day. I can't call a fucking chick fat. I'm fat. I have breasts. Zach's a fat fuck. We get to say fat. Sorry, fatties. Do better. You're on television. That you know the whole body image thing in general, it's like
it only applies to women though, like you said.
I gotta be honest with you, my fucking body doesn't matter. I've been crushing more puss than I've ever in my entire life.
Yeah. Mostly when he's on top.
Yeah.
It's well, number one,
because they can't leave.
Women want a confident man, and I've said this before. It's one of the reasons. Yeah, she looked good, thick. It's fine.
Yeah, she doesn't look bad, fat at all.
Women want a confident man. you know, and I, when I'm in shape or when I'm dieting, I lose my confidence. I start being obsessed. You
focus on your body image. Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. And when I sort of let myself go, so I need to not make it an obsession.
Yeah.
I need to make it more of a lifestyle change. And that it's, you know, that's what they say. And I'm starting to understand what that means a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because when I'm obsessed, I'm in the gym nonstop. I'm lifting weights. I'm thinking of crazy shit to do.
Yeah.
I think I need to just go to the gym like a fucking old Jewish man, hit the elliptical 5 days a week, like 30, 45 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Just get my heart rate up literally every day. Eat somewhat healthy. Like do you know, a version of the Real Ass Diet, but I could eat some potatoes here and there. If I did that, that was my life where I was like, I'd have a little bit of potatoes if I wanted to, or I'd have some, like, you know, some fucking quinoa or rice with lunch, but a smaller portion of that. But for the most part, I'm doing no sugar, no bread, no. If that was my life and I was continuing to elevate my heart rate 5 days a week for 45 minutes a day, I would naturally just get ripped. After a year, it's not going to be a month where I'm keto and I'm fucking in the gym, I'm doing great. But after a year, I'd be in the best shape of my life. It would be sustainable.
Yeah.
I need to get there. That's the reality. Because Shannon, this is the thing. Shannon, you're obsessed right now. You're doing fucking... She's only allowed to eat...
You're still doing that thing with Ralph, right?
No, we finished. I won. But I stopped eating meat a few months ago. Yeah.
I guess that's sustainable. Are you happy not eating meat or do you miss it?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Cheese sometimes I miss, but I'm fine not eating meat.
So it's full vegan?
Yeah, I say plant-based, but it is
Are you working out at all, or it's just straight up?
It's my New Year's resolution. I haven't worked out at all.
Wow, so you look this good without working out.
My goal is
for I see you naked?
No, my goal is for Skankfest to be
she
able
makes,
to
When
work.
I fuck her, she makes me do it with the lights off.
For Skankfest, I want to be able to wear, like, cut-off shorts, be cute.
Bikini top?
That's my goal.
Bikini top?
Yeah, that's how I'll sit at the front desk.
Bikini top, but with a checkered shirt over
tied
it.
Tied over it and pigtails.
Yeah. No, cowboy hat.
Okay.
Cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and like Daisy Dukes.
Oh my God, I'm getting hard thinking about Shannon in 3 months if she continues down this path. Maybe the way to go for me is vegan. I mean, you're crushing it right now, Shannon.
Thanks. But can you, I feel like you might miss meat.
Yeah.
I probably will miss meat, but...
You can do fish. I'm gaining weight back, but I lost most of my weight just eating fish. Like, I got down to like 240.
Really?
Just like, yeah, just eating fish and just doing like body weight shit.
No weights at all? No cardio?
Nah, I got like a fucked up back.
Ah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. There's
like, you'll do like, not like, you take it back, like dumbbells and shit, but not bench pressing and fucking deadlifts. All that other shit. Where I see people deadlift.
It's a lot. Like, but here's what'll happen with me as well. If I start to, I kind of crash and burn because I'll start to. I'll do the elliptical. I'll diet. I'll not even diet. I'll just do the sustainable thing. Then after 2 months, I'll start feeling good and looking good. And I'm like, shit, dude. It's like I need to up it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I'm in a fucking MMA fight with Jimmy Martinez at the Garden. And it's like, what is happening right now? I take it too far.
Yeah,
you know. And that's not sustainable because then after that fight, I go, oh, dude, I have nothing else to look for. And then I will slowly just eat and fucking.
What'd you weigh during that fight?
202.6.
That was the one in Vegas. Who was that?
Again? Vegas against Ryan O'Neal.
Oh.
And I weigh 240 right now.
You got down to 202?
202.6.
And you were training with Diego, right?
Diego, yeah. Diego's a great coach.
Yeah, I think I want to do it, but I got to get my fucking back together, but I want to do
Well, here's the thing.
Muay Thai.
You'll be fine. If you're doing, there it is, my team. Diego, Justin helped me out a lot. Fega, Bisping.
Bisping.
It was awesome.
In Williamsburg, right? The one in Williamsburg?
Yeah. Are you in Brooklyn?
Nah, I'm in Queens.
Yeah, but it's easier than it was for me. It was a pain in the ass to Williamsburg. I would say right now, Diego's really, he's a very smart coach. He understands how to work with your strength, your body.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. In terms of getting in shape, if you are just doing that type of workout a few days a week, you're going to naturally lose weight if you're eating right.
Yeah. Mm. You did, sorry to keep adding, you did privates or you did like?
I did privates.
A whole class. Oh,
I was in privates, yeah. We were one-on-one. And then we brought in sparring partners. So I was sparring, and that's where I really fucking learned how to fight. Was when I started bringing in sparring partners, and I don't really know how to fight. I just started understanding what fighting was. Mm. Once you were measuring distance, once you were throwing punches where you're trying to conserve energy, like round one, it's like you're your shots are supposed to be 40, 50, 60%, you know?
Yeah.
And then if you hurt him, if you catch him with something, then you can come in with some heavier shots. But
yeah,
just even understanding that and putting it into practice and not getting tense and just starting to swing,
yeah,
you have to do that 100 times before you start to be adapted and be in the pocket and not be afraid of somebody throwing a punch at your face.
Yeah.
It takes a lot, and you don't understand that until you're there.
Were these sparring partners just like, well, I'm going to beat the shit out of this fat dude?
Like, yeah, like, there was a few of them. That's how I got hurt. In jiu-jitsu, there was some guys that were just trying to fucking make a point. But yeah. I had Joseph Roberts, who's a comic, who's also just a, you know, karate Muay Thai guy, and had some grappling, and he was my main sparring partner.
Yeah.
And it was great, dude. The whole thing was fucking great. So I suggest people, if they have the opportunity to go out and try something like that, it's fucking really awesome. But yeah, I got
it. So do you guys think you could date a porn star?
Hold on. Where'd my ADD drop
out? How did we get here? He's right. How did we
ADD
get here?
ADD drop it.
Yeah. Oh,
come on, Shannon.
Can I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes?
What did you say, nigga?
What are you talking about?
What the hell are you talking about? Who are you talking to?
Marijuana affects the memory.
It does.
It definitely does.
So I think I could casually date a porn star. I could. I definitely could. But the concern is, it's like, I know myself, and I'm a romantic asshole. You know,
you
what I'm
saying? Love being in love.
No, I don't love being in love. I've actually been really good about being single lately. Mm. I've been fighting off these bitches. Yeah. Every one of them tries to get their hooks into me and be my girlfriend. I'm like, no, get away from me.
Right.
Crazy bitch. We're fucking. That's it. Stop it. But this chick is fucking
horses.
Well, that's man, one thing. Like, can you watch her videos? If you fall in love with her, can you watch her videos and not get a little like, what the fuck?
I think because I go into it knowing that's what she does, I have much less of a problem. If it was like you found out about it, or if you started doing it after you're with her, that's a different thing. It's not even so much that. It's like when I walk away, because this is what I would do. I have done it. I've had friends show up with porn chicks that they're dating, right? They walk away, and then I immediately look up their porn.
Yeah.
And then I go home and I viciously beat my dick to the fucking chick they're dating. But like, brutally.
Yeah.
Brutally. So I know that's what will happen every time. Right. And you have to sort of get through that.
But what if she's not as freaky with you as she is in the videos? Are you
going to
get like fucking?
Well, I don't have
offended.
I don't have two dicks, Monroe. How am I going to possibly compete? I don't know if I would. I don't know if I'd get. It's
you
interesting.
Like, what happened?
I'm saying is, I like this chick though. I
you
did.
Already
I
seem smitten.
The
look
conversations that I've had with her, I think she's
blushing.
A cool fucking chick.
I've never seen him smile like this before.
I've never smiled. It's my first time I've ever smiled.
And every time he talks, he's like, "I love this girl. I just I do."
I'll show you pictures later.
You see, her face is really pretty underneath that Timberland.
Zach, you shut the fuck up, donkey. You would marry her tomorrow. You'd leave your wife and marry this woman. You move to Mexico with her.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Timberland. I'm trying to put it together in my head now.
Yeah.
She fucking, what's the dude that be putting boots on bitches? Like, he wears boots and then he steps
that
on
That is
him.
A great. That is.
Is you, that who? Did she
no,
ever,
oh, okay. No, it's just an iconic
like
image.
Oh, okay. Like, that's an actual porn star that does that.
My favorite porn star does that sometimes.
Who's your favorite porn star, Shannon?
Rob Diesel. Yeah, there was one that he has his Timberlands on the girl.
Shannon, could you date Rob Diesel if he was like, I want to date you?
I don't think so.
It's too much? Why?
Because she don't like Timberlands. If he did it with some Ugg boots on.
Crocs.
Yeah. I don't like the idea of a guy sleeping with other women.
He's not sleeping with them.
It's working
though.
Oh.
I'm also like
they don't sleep in porn.
Right.
Yeah. I've been sleeping around so much that I do look at sex as just sex. I have turned sort of a corner where I could be in an open relationship, I think.
Mm.
I could now be in an open relationship, whereas when I was younger, there's no way. No way. If the parameters were set in the beginning where, hey, you can fuck other people, I can fuck other people, you know, simple as that, and we have a connection, but for whatever reason, like, you know, because I need diversity in pussy as well, to be honest with you. I really do. I can't have the same pussy nonstop.
Yeah.
If I ever got married, I would have to tell my wife, I was like, all right, I have to once a month be able to see a prostitute or something.
Right.
Like if it needs to be that, just like I need to, because I'm telling you right now, it's going to build up for that month. And then it's like, you know, and I have my sexual appetite is like, you know, my libido is fucking through the roof.
Yeah.
You take my fucking Blue Chew addiction into account on top of that, it's becoming a problem.
Even if you date bi girls?
I could date a chick that would invite other women into the bedroom. Right. But to be honest with you, even then, she would almost have to be okay with me sleeping with other women.
Ah, I see.
I think so. Hmm. But in that case, I would have to give myself into the ideal is she wouldn't want to sleep with other men. Maybe it's an open thing and she could if she wanted to, but she just didn't want to. And she would, like, fuck other chicks. Like, that's a, you know.
So, like, all your past relationships, but with honesty.
Yes, exactly. Well, because the anxiety of lying and cheating and all that other shit, dude, that really...
That's a pain in the ass.
It weighed on me so much in the past in so many ways that... I just fucking you don't realize exactly how unhappy that makes you, and the idea of getting caught, or the idea of, you know, even the guilt of hurting somebody you love, because you're like, it is just sex, and you're just like, it's just sex.
It's better than your hand,
you know. And you're essentially masturbate with this other person, you know,
using a twat.
But it's a use your twat. I like it, dude. He just says what I'm thinking, and that's why I like having him here. All right. So let's see. We what else we got? You have a video to end the week with Nate. Nate, you got a video to end the week?
I don't know, because it was Christmas. I'm gonna have it on Monday.
The one time I fucking remembered,
and I was really banking on you remembering.
Wow,
that's where you're like, I should go smoke a joint before this. I was like, yeah, go anything that ruins your memory.
Girlfriend,
no, you shut the fuck up. You get out of my porn star girlfriend's library.
So, yeah, apologies to everyone. It'll be ready by Monday.
Oh, where should I take her tonight, though?
Arturo's.
Cucumber store.
You should ask Ralph where Whole to go. Foods. Ralph knows.
Oh, Ralph dates a lot of porn stars.
Hey, Ralph, what a horsey.
Hey, you shut the fuck up, Zach. She's a beautiful woman.
Cocaine.
Ralph, get on mic for a second.
Yes.
Ralph, I want to impress a hot porn star I'm taking out tonight. Okay. Where should I take her?
I think, by the way, going out on a Friday night is never a good idea, because it's going to be batshit crazy everywhere you go.
Okay, so I'm going to cancel this date.
You should.
No, not after Christmas.
You should do it on a Monday or a Tuesday.
No, I'm taking her out tonight after my set. I have a set at 8, and I'm meeting her afterwards.
Why don't you take her to one of my hidden little sushi restaurants, because that'll impress her, and it's not that expensive.
I don't think she likes sushi.
I mean, she like dick.
So. Doggy. Relax.
Talking each about his future life.
Same thing.
You know, I have a place. They have good drinks, and it's not that expensive.
Don't tell me the name of it on air. I'm not gonna. I just realized people are going to show up at it.
But I just think a lot of these places are going to be hard to get a reservation on a Friday night. But we could try.
Ralph, sometimes you don't need a reservation place. You know, Ralph.
Yeah, I like reservations.
Reservation does look nice. Places. You're right. But I also don't dress nice. Neither do you. You never dress nice with these chicks.
This is how I go to dinner.
I love it. That's why me and Ralph, we're owning the being scrubby business owners thing.
Yeah,
we don't. It makes you seem more successful than dressing nice, in my opinion.
Yeah,
when it's
Bill Gates and his New Balances.
Yes, my friend Michelle, she's an Emmy-winning writer and producer, right? And I
she
love Michelle.
Dresses though.
She dresses like garbage.
No, she doesn't. Michelle wears fucking Alexander Wang shoes.
Yes, but Alexander McQueen shoes. With sweatpants. This bitch wore sweatpants to the Emmys. I swear to God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Michelle comes in her hair all disheveled. She got a pencil stuck in it.
Well, when she comes to the comedy club, she comes like fucking decked out.
Who was that? Who was the teacher when we were kids that was in that book?
Miss Frizzle?
Miss Frizzle. She's looking at Miss Frizzle.
Yeah.
Every time. She'll show up at like a 5-star restaurant.
Yeah. Oh. So. I didn't know.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you for saving my fucking reference.
Are we allowed to say what porn star was at the Gas Digital holiday party?
Is that who?
No, it's not.
I don't know who was there.
Jasmine St. Clair was there.
Was she?
And she dated the Blue Meanie in the 90s.
That's hilarious.
And every time I walked behind her to get a drink, I did the Blue Meanie.
Good for her. Good for him. Good for me. I'm excited. I will let you guys know how this goes. Gonna be a fun night tonight. That's it. That's the show. This has been a fun one, guys. Thank you for letting me ramble about.
No problem, man.
Jake Flores. You know, Jake, if you're listening to this, you might be. Who knows? We're done. I'm fine. You've said your fucking piece. I've said my piece. Just how about you not talk shit? You'll still talk shit, but I don't need to do that every time I fucking see you. You just fucking know.
It just
you know,
just weird.
You know what you are. He knows what the fuck he is. He doesn't work enough comedy clubs for me to really give a fuck, so we really don't bump into each other that much.
Yeah, but if you ordered a pizza at the Everett Club you were at.
That is true. All right, we're out. We'll be back on Monday. Real Ass Podcast, New Year's Eve show. Peace.
That's all, folks.